The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Good afternoon, Rolene Marks.
Good afternoon, Robin Smogler.
Welcome to a new week.
Thank you.
Hopefully we're going to have some good news this week.
Well, we hope. That's always that's one thing
always
about
on
you.
The wish list.
We are eternal optimists. We always hope for hope.
Absolutely. So let's jump right in. And we heard that President Herzog had a historic visit to Bahrain. What happened in that visit?
Well, this is the president's first visit to Bahrain. Bahrain, as many of you know, were one of the first countries to sign the Abraham Accords. And this is just over 2 years ago now. How time flies when you are signing normalization deals. So this is his first official visit. Very, very significant, historic, which is a word you're going to hear me use a few times in this broadcast while we talk about the president's visit. So he landed yesterday morning in the capital, Manama. He was welcomed with a guard of honor, very, very warmly. The playing of Hatikva, which no matter how many times I hear it, it really, really never fails to move me. And hearing it played in Manama, in a Gulf country, after these incredible normalization deals was really just extra moving. So he was welcomed by the King of Bahrain, Hamad bin Isa Al Khalifa, who invited the president on his first official visit. And the two of them spoke at length about the Negev Forum. This is the forum that was set up by now Prime Minister Yair Lapid, then Foreign Minister Yair Lapid, which included Morocco, the UAE, Bahrain, but also the United States, Jordan, Egypt, and a hand was extended to the Palestinians to put down their animosity and join us at the table of peace and work towards regional cooperation and improving the situation in our region. And then the president met with members of Bahrain's Jewish community. Yes, there is one, a very small one. And he met at a synagogue. It is a local synagogue in Manama. He met with people like Ibrahim Nunu, Misha Nunu. The Nunu family are quite well known in Bahrain. Huda Nunu serving as an ambassador for many years before she recently retired. And President Herzog said, "I'm very moved to be here. This is really history in the making, and coming and visiting the Jewish community in Bahrain when we have such incredible peace and wonderful relations with His Majesty the King." He then flew this morning to the United Arab Emirates, also a major peace partner. He flew into Abu Dhabi. He was greeted by Mohammed bin Al-Zayed, the King of the United Arab Emirates, also the President of the United Arab Emirates. And he took part in the space debate. And he said, "Our two countries are leading new frontiers in space, making a mark on history," and we certainly are. So a very, very positive start to the week for President Herzog.
And Netanyahu reassures that he will not allow any harm to the LGBTQ rights, and school vow to boycott Maoz. What is happening on that front?
Well, as we've been speaking about since the elections, Avi Maoz, who is the leader of the Noam Party, which formed part of the Otzma Yehudit faction, is a very, very controversial, extremely, extremely polarizing figure here in Israel. He's somebody who is quite unabashedly homophobic. He is somebody who has vowed to make it his priority to shut down pride parades, certainly in Jerusalem. And he wants to roll back on civil liberties that belong to the LGBTQ plus community, the civil liberties and human rights that Israel is extremely proud of. We're very proud of our record in in that regard and appearing on NBC's Meet the Press last night, incoming Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said he will not allow for any harm to come to LGBTQ plus rights in Israel. And he said, you know, from my history, I am a leader who has always had both hands on the wheel. I will not allow for that to happen, because the challenge for him now is to rein in Itamar Ben-Gvir, Bezalel Smotrich and Avi Maoz, who people do see as far right, as extreme, and almost as renegade. We've spoken over the last couple of weeks the controversies surrounding certainly Ben-Gvir, especially with regards to involving our army in politics, is concerned. And last week, Maoz was handed the education ministry, which is a key ministry, and a lot of concern for that as well. And now 50 municipalities and at least 300 school principals have joined protests and boycotts, saying they refuse to cooperate with him. So Netanyahu, I don't envy him. He is in for a huge challenge, and he will have to reassure Israelis. You know, some people following my discussion with Howard on Friday morning have said, you know, you need to accept this is who Israel have voted for. You need to accept election results. But, you know, we also have to accept the fact that Israel is a democracy and people are also exercising their democratic rights.
Absolutely. And Israel lifts a ban on fiberglass in the Gaza Strip, which is a welcome decision for the fishermen in Gaza. What's happening with that?
So let's talk about that. Why was fiberglass banned since 2007 for about 15 years? So fiberglass, along with certain other materials, was banned by the IDF for entering the Gaza Strip, because a lot of these materials, especially building materials, are more often than not used for, or we'll call it, military purposes by terrorists from Gaza. So unfortunately, those who have paid the price of this boycott are Gazan fishermen. However, along with the United Nations working on some kind of negotiations or deal to allow fiberglass to once again come into the strip, Israel has lifted the ban. So what this has meant that for technicians, for fishermen, for anybody who's certainly using fiberglass to bolster their boats, they have been allowed to use that again, which not only has fixed boats, allowing the fishermen to go out to sea to catch in their net, but also has allowed for job creation. You know, some of the technicians have been speaking to the media saying that I started working 2 weeks ago at a workshop, because now at least we can get on with the job of fixing boats, fixing what we need to fix. However, there are concerns, can this material be used elsewhere? And part of the deal brokered by the United Nations is that the workshops will be supervised, so that the material goes towards what it is supposed to be used for and not towards building rudimentary weapons that endanger Israeli lives.
So let's hope that happens and we can teach more men how to fish and feed more people. Just before we head over to the news headlines, there was a deadline for Netanyahu to get his coalition together by the 6th of December. He asked for a postponement. What's happening over there?
We haven't heard for definite whether or not he has asked for a postponement. It was expected that he will. Let's see what happens. It's highly unlikely that he's going to reach tomorrow's deadline. He may have already asked for the deadline to be extended at least until the 11th of December. Let's see if he can make the 11th of December. Failing that, he will ask the president for an extension. And if he cannot put together a coalition, everybody knows the answer. It goes to the next person that the president will take.
Let's hope for a Hanukkah miracle this year. We'll have a good, solid coalition and, good government taking us forward. Thank you, Rolene Marks, as always, for joining us on the Israel Report this afternoon.